What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And before you know it, Packers training camp is here and Ryan Wood is back to working 100-hour days. And away we go. Everybody has fun. And the Packer beat writers can't wait for the offseason to get here once the season starts. What's up, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette? Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Boy, you make the fall sound so luxurious when you put it that way.
Y'all work crazy hours, man. I don't think people really understand the amount of hours and work you beat writers put in the course of a year. Nonetheless, from the time training camp starts to the time that your team is done playing, it is a tremendous amount of work.
It's more of a lifestyle than a job. You know what I mean? Like, there's never a day, even in the spring, there's never really a day that you don't think about the Packers, their roster, their team. But look, all of us doing this for a living, we were the nerdy kids in school that thought about sports all the time growing up, so we wouldn't have it any other way.
That's true. I fall into that boat. Sure, I'm with you. Let's talk about this draft here, because this is a draft where I would say relatively – I'm pretty happy with what they did in the draft outside of the first round. I thought the second round was a home run. I think the third round, getting that running back that they did was good as well. What was your favorite pick of this Packers draft, Ryan Wood?
Well, hold on a second. What was your issue with the first round?
I don't like the player necessarily, but that wasn't the biggest issue. The biggest issue I had was when you're sitting there and Miami's on the clock, and even before Miami when Pittsburgh was on the clock, you had every opportunity to move up a couple of spots to get either of the two best corners in this draft that you wanted. And especially when Miami was on the clock, I was on social media going, if you don't go, you're going to lose both of them, and neither are going to be there. Neither one should have fallen this far to begin with. They didn't. And then one went to Philly, Mitchell went to Philly, and then the Lions swoop in. Was it the Lions or the Vikings? Whoever it was. Swoop in and take Arnold. And now you're left sitting there, and you have an opportunity to go back, according to Gutekunst. You don't. And you get all in love with a guy that's probably going to end up at guard at some point here. And you take Jordan Morgan instead when you could have had a lockdown corner, in my opinion, opposite Jair Alexander for the next several years and not have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, it was the Lions that took Arnold. And Detroit's biggest need this offseason is cornerback. A draft has a way of telling you, getting through the subterfuge, as Brian Gutekunst liked to say last week, and telling you exactly what a team thinks of itself. And the reality is the Packers, Brian Gutekunst did not think the quarterback was among his biggest needs from a roster-building standpoint. Now, I think it's fair on the outside to wonder if that's going to be the case, but where I'm at, you got to let it play out. I do think that Brian, he's the GM that drafted Jordan Love. I think that he has shown through the past couple draft classes, through some very big decisions, that he deserves the benefit of the doubt. So that's what he thought. Brian Gutekunst thought, okay, cornerback's not one of the biggest needs. I thought coming into the draft that their biggest need was identifying and securing a franchise left tackle. I didn't think there was a bigger need than that on the entire roster. So Jordan Morgan, we have no idea on any of these guys if they can play. Right now, I think it was a very good draft on paper. I also think that drafts aren't made good on paper. It's the field. And we haven't seen these guys on the field. That'll ultimately be what matters. But in terms of the instant reaction of what you can analyze, did they hit needs with value? Jordan Morgan was the sixth offensive tackle drafted in this draft. The seventh came four spots later, Tyler Guyton. And then there wasn't an offensive tackle taken for 26 picks. There was a very clear shelf life on premium tackles in this very talented and deep tackle draft. And the Packers got into that shelf. They got who they believe is a premium tackle right before that shelf went off a cliff. If he becomes a franchise left tackle, that's a great pick. If he doesn't, then that's obviously not a great pick.
Well, what happens if he's a Pro Bowl right guard?
Be a Pro Bowl right guard. If Jordan Morgan is a significant part of what turns this fine, okay, offensive line that they had. It wasn't bad last year, but it wasn't great. It wasn't a great offensive line last year either. If he's a significant piece to what makes this an elite offensive line, even if it's at guard, it's a great pick. Because as Matt LaFleur and Brian Kudrick like to say, it is about the best five. And they've set themselves up to have the best five because they've got three guys on the offensive line now that can play at least four, five positions in the case of Elton Jenkins and Zach Tom. That's damn near unheard of. That is hard to do. And they've gone out there with premium talent, and they found that kind of versatility. So they can actually take this all-inclusive, this cerebral view of, okay, what's the best five, and just put them in those spots. Usually teams, okay, what's your best right tackle? What's your best left tackle? Left guard, right guard, center. The Packers can move these guys around, and they're all premium talents. So it depends on the player Jordan Morgan is, but from a needs and value standpoint, I think he hit the mark in the first round, and then he did it on through the draft.
If he ends up at guard, I'm not a fan, because you could have moved back and gotten a guard. That's my issue, and I don't think that he can be a Pro Bowl left tackle. That's where I'm at, and if I'm wrong, I'm fine being wrong. I'm cool with that. I think he ends up either probably at right tackle, but more than likely he probably ends up inside a guard. And again, I'll be happy to be wrong if I am wrong. What was your favorite pick in this draft?
I think Edger and Cooper. Look, I think that Brian Gutekunst got the Cooper that he wanted in this draft, and
thank you.
I think he got the Cooper that they needed. I understand that Cooper DeJean went number 40, and I understand that if you're a Packers fan and you think that that cornerback in the secondary was the biggest need that they had, that's got to hurt. But when you're going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and even more important, when you're a nickel defense like every other defense in this league, and you've got Quay Walker, that's a really good fit on the second level in a nickel defense because he's got speed, he's got length, he can do a lot of great things from an athletic profile standpoint. Go get another one. Go get another Quay Walker, and that's what Edger and Cooper is. Quay Walker runs 4.52. Edger Cooper runs 4.51. When as a nickel linebacker battery, that is tantalizing athleticism that can really change a defense. And again, when you are transitioning from 3-4 to 4-3, that linebacker body type's a heck of a lot more important. You got to have more of those body types on your roster. The Packers enter this draft knowing that they needed to get more linebackers, get more big guys with, you know, decent size that can move, run around, sideline to sideline and hit, and that's what they did. I think that linebacker, in terms of this transition they were in, that they certainly thought that was a more important positional need than corner, and they went and they stocked that. So I would say Edger and Cooper, because he will be a...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Starter at nickel. Adrian Cooper, if he stays healthy this year, is going to play over 800 snaps, and he has the athletic profile to be very excited about that.
I didn't want Cooper DeJean, so I was good with that happening the way it did. And if they were going to get stuck with Cooper DeJean, I only wanted him at safety. I didn't want him at corner. We had Sam Monson on from Pro Football Focus in the first hour of the show. I asked him why he thought Cooper DeJean fell, and he thought he fell because he doesn't think the NFL GMs look at him as an outside corner. And therefore limiting him to what he was actually going to do on the field. And therefore, that's probably why he fell at the end of the day. So I don't know if that's why he fell or not, but that would make sense from my perspective. What about this whole idea of taking a running back on day two, like they did here with Marshawn Lloyd, the running back from USC, to pair with the newly acquired running back that you got from the Raiders in Josh Jacobs?
You got to like if he doesn't fumble. I mean, that's going to be the question with Marshawn Lloyd is he had, I think, 8 career fumbles in college, and usually guys that fumble don't stop fumbling. So if he does stop fumbling, there's a lot to like with Marshawn Lloyd. He's 220 pounds, and he runs a 4.46. He is big. He is fast. He is explosive. And that as a backup running back, and the Packers have made it clear. I asked Matt LaFleur at the owners' meeting. Okay, you got Josh Jacobs. He's the closest thing in the NFL right now to a true, proven workhorse running back because those are a dying breed. They don't exist anymore. They're going the way of the dinosaurs. You don't have true workhorse running backs in this league. Everyone's running a two-back system, including and especially Matt LaFleur. I mean, how many times do we see A.J. Dillon on the field when they had Aaron Jones? He's a two-back coach. With Josh Jacobs, are you still a two-back coach? He made it very clear. He's still a two-back coach. So Marshawn Lloyd, again, if he can stop fumbling, if he can secure the football, he has everything, every trait you want as a dynamic runner to be able to pair with Josh Jacobs so that when Josh Jacobs needs a rest, you're not losing anything off the sideline. That's the potential there. To get that in the third round, look, when the Packers draft a running back late third round, 88th overall pick, and Daniel Jeremiah says they just got the best running back in the draft, that's got to be an exciting thing to hear.
Yeah, I was excited. I was pretty excited by the way that turned out. Are you excited about the idea of this team taking a quarterback apparently every year now going forward as they take a quarterback this year after just taking one last year with Clifford?
It's the most important position on the field. It is a page straight out of the Ron Wolf book. Even when Ron Wolf had Brett Favre, he was taking quarterbacks. He was day three. He was making sure that position was well stocked in depth and not just the top line of the depth chart. And what it does, look, when you're a contending team, as the Packers absolutely are in 2024, backup quarterback's not insignificant. If Jordan Love gets hurt for a couple weeks, you got to have a guy that can come in and carry the boat for those couple weeks and to keep the train on the tracks. And now there's an intriguing backup quarterback battle in Green Bay between Sean Clifford, who everyone thought last year was drafted way too high, and then he comes in and shows his rocket arm in the preseason, and oh, he can play. And now Pratt, who everyone thought was drafted way too late, but that's good value for the Packers. I think it's going to be a fascinating backup quarterback battle to watch.
You know, the other thing, too, about this draft class, as we look at it, was they didn't really go out and get another big, massive defensive tackle to play on that line next to Kenny Clark. You know, obviously, they still have T.J. Slayton in there, but other than him, these other guys really aren't massive human beings to try and help stop the run, and that has been an overwhelming issue for this Packers defense over the last, I don't know, decade.
Yeah, you know, I think a byproduct of that is the switch from 3-4 to 4-3. In theory, it's a whole lot more penetrative one-gap type of stunts for defensive tackles. you're 3-4, you want more of those two gap guys that could just clog up lanes and eat up blocks. But there were really three positions on this roster that I didn't think there was any need to touch from the top line of the depth chart all the way to the bottom. And that'd be receiver, tight end, and defensive tackle. This was as good of a defensive tackle position last year that the Packers have had in recent memory. They, as a group, from Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt took a leap. You see the athletic explosion. He still has room to grow. He's a finishable plays. But there's a lot of athleticism there. T.J. Slayton was an absolute stud. And then they bring in two rookies last year, and Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden, who had very productive rookie seasons as day three draft picks at a position where usually you need a year to really transition and develop into the league. They were, for depth guys, they gave a lot of production. This is a very good defensive line. I'm not surprised that they didn't go out and add more to it.
Talking with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer here on 1250 AM, The Fan. What now, as a Packer fan, what is there next to look forward to? I think for me, it's about seeing on Christian Watson, seeing on Eric Stokes what these guys look like the next time we see him.
Yeah, there's no question. Look, Brian Gutekunst did not think cornerback was a gotta-have-it need for this roster. That doesn't mean that he won't end up being wrong. I think that there's now a lot of pressure on the corners. Carrington Valentine, as Brian Gutekunst says, played exceptionally well last year as a seventh-round rookie. But there's something about year two. You got to go do it again. He's not going to surprise anybody as a seventh-round rookie in year two. He's a starting corner in the NFL now. You have to do it again. Eric Stokes, I get that the Packers sound awfully optimistic about where he's at in getting back to the field, but the reality is that Eric Stokes missed an entire year of football. That's tough. I mean, and it looked like it when he did play the couple games late in the season that he did play before going back on IR. He looked like a corner who hadn't played in a year. So that's a monumental uphill toe for him to get back to where he was in 2021. I'm not saying it can't happen or it won't happen, but that's a climb because, he's got potential. He was drafted in the first round for a reason. He had a stellar rookie season. But we're far removed from that now. So how does this offseason go, and how does that reacclimation back to actually playing the game again go? They seem awfully pleased with Jaire Alexander. He reported for the voluntary portion of the offseason, unlike last year. That's a great first step. Jaire Alexander is driven and hungry and motivated, he's one of the best corners in the league. We didn't see that last year. If he gets back to that, they've got a number one corner in Green Bay, and that's essential for any great defense to have. But we've got to see it continue.
I got one last one. We got about 90 seconds left here. The Niners apparently are going to trade Ayuk possibly here at some point. If they do that, does that open up the NFC more for the Green Bay Packers to take opportunity if they trade one of their wide receivers?
I think so. I think the fact that Dre Greenlaw is going to miss a big chunk of the season already open. Starter at nickel. Adrian Cooper, if he stays healthy this year, is going to play over 800 snaps, and he has the athletic profile to be very excited about that.
I didn't want Cooper DeJean, so I was good with that happening the way it did. And if they were going to get stuck with Cooper DeJean, I only wanted him at safety. I didn't want him at corner. We had Sam Monson on from Pro Football Focus in the first hour of the show. I asked him why he thought Cooper DeJean fell. And he thought he fell because he doesn't think the NFL GMs look at him as an outside corner and therefore limiting him to what he was actually going to do on the field. And therefore, that's probably why he fell at the end of the day. So I don't know if that's why he fell or not, but that would make sense from my perspective. What about this whole idea of taking a running back on day two, like they did here with Marshawn Lloyd, the running back from USC, to pair with the newly acquired running back that you got from the Raiders and Josh Jacobs?
You got to like if he doesn't fumble. I mean, that's going to be the question with Marshawn Lloyd. Is he had, I think, 8 career fumbles in college, and usually guys that fumble don't stop fumbling. So if he does stop fumbling, there's a lot to like with Marshawn Lloyd. He's 220 pounds, and he runs a 4.46. He is big, he is fast, he is explosive. And that, as a backup running back, and the Packers have made it clear, I asked Matt LaFleur at the owner's meeting, Okay, you got Josh Jacobs. He's the closest thing in the NFL right now to a true, proven workhorse running back, because those are a dying breed. They don't exist anymore. They're going the way of the dinosaurs. You don't have true workhorse running backs in this league. Everyone's running a two-back system, including and especially Matt LaFleur. I mean, how many times do we see A.J. Dillon on the field when they had Aaron Jones? He's a two-back coach. With Josh Jacobs, are you still a two-back coach? He made it very clear. He's still a two-back coach. So Marshawn Lloyd, again, if he can stop fumbling, if he can secure the football, he has everything, every trait you want as a dynamic runner to be able to pair with Josh Jacobs, so that when Josh Jacobs needs a rest, you're not losing anything off the sideline. That's the potential there. To get that in the third round, look, when the Packers draft a running back late third round, 88th overall pick, and Daniel Jeremiah says they just got the best running back in the draft, that's got to be an exciting thing to hear.
Yeah, I was excited. I was pretty excited by the way that turned out. Are you excited about the idea of this team taking a quarterback apparently every year now going forward, as they take a quarterback this year after just taking one last year with Clifford?
It's the most important position on the field. It is a page straight out of the Ron Wolf book. Even when Ron Wolf had Brett Favre, he was taking quarterbacks. He was day three. He was making sure that position was well stocked in depth, and not just the top line of the depth chart. And what it does, look, when you're a contending team, as the Packers absolutely are in 2024, backup quarterback's not insignificant. You know, if Jordan Love gets hurt for a couple weeks, you got to have a guy that can come in and carry the boat for those couple weeks and to keep the train on the tracks. And now there's an intriguing backup quarterback battle in Green Bay between Sean Clifford, who everyone thought last year was drafted way too high, and then he comes in and shows his rocket arm in the preseason, and, oh, he can play. And now Pratt, who everyone thought was drafted way too late, but that's good value for the Packers. I think it's going to be a fascinating backup quarterback battle to watch.
You know, the other thing, too, about this draft class, as we look at it, was they didn't really go out and get another big, massive defensive tackle to play on that line next to Kenny Clark. You know, obviously, they still have T.J. Slayton in there, but other than him, these other guys really aren't massive human beings to try and help stop the run, and that has been an overwhelming issue for this Packers defense over the last, I don't know, decade.
Yeah, you know, I think a byproduct of that is the switch from 3-4 to 4-3. In theory, it's a whole lot more penetrative one-gap type of stunts for defensive tackles. You're 3-4, you want more of those two-gap guys that could just clog up lanes and eat up blocks. But there were really three positions on this roster that I didn't think that there was any need to touch, from the top line of the depth chart all the way to the bottom. And that'd be receiver, tight end, and defensive tackle. This was as good of a defensive tackle position last year that the Packers have had in recent memory. They, as a group, from Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt took a leap. You see the athletic explosion. He still has room to grow. He's a finishable plays. But there's a lot of athleticism there. T.J. Slayton was an absolute stud. And then they bring in two rookies last year, and Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden, who had very productive rookie seasons as day three draft picks at a position where usually you need a year to really transition and develop into the league. They were, for depth guys, they gave a lot of production. This is a very good defensive line. I'm not surprised that they didn't go out and add more to it.
Talking with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer here on 1250 AM, The Fan. What now, as a Packer fan, what is there next to look forward to? I think for me, it's about seeing on Christian Watson, seeing on Eric Stokes what these guys look like the next time we see him.
Yeah, there's no question. Look, Brian Gutekunst did not think cornerback was a gotta-have-it need for this roster. That doesn't mean that he won't end up being wrong. I think that there's now a lot of pressure on the corners. Carrington Valentine, as Brian Gutekunst says, played exceptionally well last year as a seventh-round rookie. But there's something about year two. You got to go do it again. He's not going to surprise anybody as a seventh-round rookie in year two. He's a starting corner in the NFL now. You have to do it again. Eric Stokes, I get that the Packers sound awfully optimistic about where he's at and getting back to the field, but the reality is that Eric Stokes missed an entire year of football. That's tough. I mean, that and it looked like it when he did play the the couple games late in the season that he did play before going back on IR, he looked like a corner who hadn't played in a year. So that's a monumental uphill toe for him to get back to where he was in 2021. I'm not saying it can't happen or it won't happen, but that's a climb because, he's got potential. He was drafted in the first round for a reason. He had a stellar rookie season. But we're far removed from that now. So how does this offseason go, and how does that reacclimation back to actually playing the game again go? They seem awfully pleased with Jaire Alexander. He reported for the voluntary portion of the offseason, unlike last year. That's a great first step. Jaire Alexander is driven and hungry and motivated, he's one of the best corners in the league. We didn't see that last year. If he gets back to that, they've got a number one corner in Green Bay, and that's essential for any great defense to have. But we've got to see it continue.
I got one last one. We got about 90 seconds left here. The Niners apparently are going to trade Ayuk possibly here at some point. If they do that, does that open up the NFC more for the Green Bay Packers to take opportunity if they trade one of their wide receivers?
I think so. I think the fact that Dre Greenlaw is going to miss a big chunk of the season already opens the NFC more. That's a huge, crucial part of their defense. And I also think, and I wrote about this over the weekend, what the Packers are trying to establish when they pair Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper together is Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw. That's what they want. Jeff Hafley comes from the San Francisco system. Linebacker play is absolutely critical in that system. I mean, you look at the battery that San Francisco has had there and what that meant. It wasn't even the best night for San Francisco's defense in the NFC Divisional Round game, but who had two interceptions, including the game clinchers? Dre Greenlaw.
Yep.
So that's what the Packers are trying to develop. I think that they're right there on the top cusp of contenders in this conference, and from there, you just got to let it play out.
Get ready, because I think the Steelers might be the team that's going to get one of these guys based on what I'm seeing on social media. They're teasing at the fact they're about to get a big playmaker in Pittsburgh, so we'll see if it ends up being with San Francisco. Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Thank you, my friend.
All right, take care, Sparky.
Take care. There he is, Ryan Wood here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.